Well, hello, and welcome to another Bible Bit. This time I want to look at one of the Psalms. And this passage is one that has struck me as I read it and began to think about it. And it's because there's a passage in the middle of this psalm, Psalm 91. It's only 16 verses. But right in the middle is a verse that is pretty familiar to many. And I didn't realize how much meaning was in it until recently. Well, this psalm is describing how the faithful believer approaches God and views God and trusts God. And you can particularly see that in how the psalm begins and also how it ends. It begins with he who dwells in the shelter of the Most High will abide in the shadow of the Almighty. I will say to the Lord, my refuge and my fortress, my God in whom I trust. I will say. Isn't that interesting? I will say. He's worshiping. And just before that, it's describing someone who is believing in God's ultimate good. You know, calling God a shelter. This is a person who believes that God has good in mind for him. And then that phrase, the Most High, in verse 1. This is someone who is affirming that God is the God, the true God, the preeminent God, and that he's deserving of that title. He's deserving of that position. So it begins with this trust, and we have that piece of worship in verse 2, and it's a really interesting psalm. And as I say, it ends with the fact that the individual actually retains this faithfulness and retains this trust in God throughout his life. And as the end of the psalm, as the psalm ends, so does this person's life. It's near the end of their life, looking back. But the verse I want to focus on is verse 11. Verse 11 of Psalm 91. For he will give his angels charge concerning you to guard you in all your ways. They will bear you up in their hands, lest you strike your foot against a stone. So verses 11 and 12. If these two verses echo with you, it will be because they appear in the Gospels. And you recall early on in the Gospels, particularly Matthew and Luke, you'll recall that in chapter 4 of Matthew and chapter 4 of Luke, we have the account of the enemy, our enemy, our adversary, Satan, taking Jesus on a little road trip and showing him all the kingdoms of the earth and asking him to bow down before him. But also in another vision, he takes Jesus up to the top of the temple and says, Jesus, jump down and show everyone that you are the Son of God, because you know the angels will protect you. And he quotes this verse. He quotes this passage, these two verses, 11 and 12, of Psalm 91. The enemy does. Now, it shouldn't be a surprise that the enemy of our souls knows the Bible and even uses the Bible. I dare say he knows it better than we do. But he doesn't know the God of the Bible. He doesn't know the Lord Jesus Christ of the Bible. And I find it very, very interesting that the enemy chose these two verses to tempt Jesus Christ with, our Lord. And that there's an irony in this. There's a supreme irony. Inasmuch as this chapter, chapter 91, as I mentioned earlier, begins describing the trusting, faithful believer and ends with the state and the preservation and the protection and the care of God toward this believer, so that we have basically a psalm on relationship. It's a psalm about relationship. Look at verse 14. Because he has loved me, therefore I will deliver him. Verse 15. He will call on me, and I will answer him. I will be with him in trouble. I will rescue him and honor him. Verse 16, with a long life I will satisfy him, and let him behold my salvation. The writer is saying that this trusting individual, this trusting believer, will look back on his life in old age, and he will know that God has been there. He will recognize that his life has been blessed by God. God has not been silent. God has not been distant. God has not been unrelational, but relational. This is a psalm about relationship. And isn't it ironic? And isn't it intrinsically evil that the enemy of our souls has chosen passages out of this psalm, out of their context, notice, and ignoring the fact of the rest of the context, the rest of the psalm, and chosen two verses with which to attack Jesus, and by implication ourselves, and hiding the fact, and ignoring the fact, that relationship with God is what life is about. It's not about testing God as the enemy wanted Jesus to do. It's about trusting God and a relationship with him that is all about trust. I don't know about you. I hope the Holy Spirit has allowed me to express this in a way that reaches you. I hope this makes sense, but I can't get beyond the pathos. I can't get beyond the awesome awareness of what the enemy has done here. He has used God's own word against him, and done it in trickery, in deception, by extracting from the rest of the psalm, which is all about relationship, which, of course, the enemy does not want. Satan does not want anyone to have a relationship with God. And what does he do? He uses verses that came out of that context of relationship and uses them to attack our relationship with God. I find that just utterly, insidiously ironic and evil. And it should be a warning to us. It should be a warning. And at the same time, read the whole psalm, think about it, meditate on it, and see how good God is. And the blessings that wait for those who have a relationship with him. Thank you for these minutes. Believe God.